program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Tonight on Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, the subgenius cyclopedia of Slack, the Bobliographon Death March continues with the first portion of Chapter 5 and a little help from Aluminum Rust, SWAT, Deep Inside a Cop's Mind, and William Burroughs Playing Around with Ministry. And background music by Bill T. Miller's Orgy of Noise and a little chunk of tinkle from Hell Pope Huey. Chapter 5. Subgenie Us versus Them. Shut up, pink boy. Stop, right now. Too many would-be zealots are still laboring under the impression that this is some kind of parody of kook religions. While perhaps having properly grasped the full implications of the faith in Bob, some are yet prey to all manner of misconceptions about other basic subgenius doctrine. For instance, an otherwise ascended subgenius may understand the serious nature of, say, excrementation, yet still think that the concept of accubeating is simply a joke thrown in to confuse conspiracy censors. And there is no estimating how many rogue subgeniuses still do not believe in Bob at all. So, let's talk plain, raw truth. Bob lives. Alien beings are all around us, watching our every move. There is a conspiracy of unimaginable proportions working solely to rob you of your very abnormality. The president, any, is a Bolshevik clone. Russia, nevertheless, has been taken over by demon-possessed Christians. Utter stupidity can make you rich. Your own evil ghost twin is standing beside you right now. There is a hollow earth that holds an advanced race of super creatures and humans from before the Ice Age, long before the history of man. They have to be stopped. And this is just the surface, the tip of the iceberg, one drop in the billion buckets of the blood of subgenius martyrs everywhere. By 1998, the real 1998, if the world itself isn't in Bob's hands, if a world steering committee composed entirely of subgeniuses isn't on hand to intercept the gifts of the angelic host from Planet X, when they arise in that year, then there will hardly be any reason at all for the immortality drug riots that we know will be erupting about then. Fighting and killing to get the elixir of longevity will hardly seem worth it. You won't want to live two more years, much less forever. Of course, this generation may be remembered as the one that didn't quite make it. We don't know whether we'll get a chance to enjoy the immortality drugs or not, but our children will, if they don't kill each other fighting over it. For their sake, for their precious, innocent pink hearts, the Church of the Subgenius must take its rightful place as the one-world religion foretold in the Bible. When the Exists finally come up from the skies, the ones they transform into overmen must be subgeniuses, or you can kiss your sweet assurance of sanity goodbye. So, shut up and listen. Listen and look for yourself. You don't even need us to translate the handwriting on the wall. What's going on is very grotesquely obvious to even the most subjugated idiot. Face it, It's all falling apart. The plan failed. The 60s didn't work at all. They were just a kind of decoy to make us think everything would get solved eventually. Sure, they made everyone hip. A lot of hornets' nests got stirred up. The liberals and modernists got their turn on the soapbox. The almost exposed peenie and jumping bosoms of the underwear-shunning hep ones made the more uptight normals spin around to be faced with a mirror-image anti-world of their own repressions. We had a whole new breed of moderately long-haired people in the 70s, a whitewashed promiscuous breed that reduced the boiling point of the 60s to a slow simmer. A simmer which, thanks to the conspiracy that had those soon-to-be disco diptishes under control from the word go, will soon lurch once again into a far more complicated, far less controllable, civil war between normals and abnormals. Yes, cults! Cults are breeding! Everyone is bored with being tolerant. The hate is hungry. It must be fed. Maybe the slackless people in the horrible grip of the conspiracy work instinct can't win, but by God, they can sure find an outlet for resentment by seeking out a few others like them. A cult, not necessarily of religion, but rather of work, or diet, or music, or self-help. You can always find something to be a member of, as long as it's a small enough and large enough group that it has not too much, and yet not too little, in common with the common man. Canned guilt over unhip sex race god thoughts can be neatly shelved by pride over doing your own thing. Some particular obsessive brain hobby, but that cool individuality is a big sham. What most people ended up with after the 60s wasn't liberation. It was just a deep personal hole, burrowed for privacy during the blindly hopeful, vehemently peaceful, PG-rated reign of the healthy mediocritans. Now it's the future. Now. Reverend Ivan Stang, 1980, Stark Fist of Removal, number 39, volume 17. Now, it's decades later, and everything has deteriorated on schedule. We know the enemy far better. Here's how you recognize him. It's anybody who says that you must be part of their clique, or their clench, or their church, or their country, or their species, or their planet, in order to have slack. Anybody, that is, except us. For we alone bear the knowledge of the ultimate secret, the true truth. No matter our age, gender, education, weight, gullibility, or number of sex organs or personalities, our very deepest sub-subconscious memories are shared in common, and what they collectively tell us isn't pretty. In fact, it's enough to make you want to turn your stomach inside out. Again. We pay the conspiracy to take our money away. That's their job. It's what the conspiracy is. It's not so much that they rule over us. It's that we live, breathe, and eat the conspiracy. It is what we live in. The conspiracy is the fishbowl and the water we swim in. They don't consciously take our slack away. They trample slack without ever knowing of its existence. But this will in fact lead to their downfall. Even the unthinking 10,000-year war on slack must grind to a halt when, thanks to their slack ignorance, the world economy finally caves in on itself.
Secrets now and now.
the free world is grossly overpriced. There's really only one airline left, but that's okay with them, because they own it. There's really only one publisher left, but that's okay, because they own it. Only one TV network left, only one internet provider, only one actual political party, but that's all okay, because they own it. Everything is under control. Right. The craziest 1890s steam engine train engineer in the world is at the helm of Spaceship Earth. Our whole planetary vehicle is careening out of control with drunken madmen at the wheel, and none of them are Bob. What, then, is to be our destination? The moon? The future? No, friends. It's Hooterville. Our future under the conspiracy is a bad sitcom that never ends. Already, most cities are like something from a science fiction movie. An old science fiction movie. The further north you go in any city, the more it becomes like A Clockwork Orange. On the south side, it's more like Blade Runner. Out in the sticks, Road Warrior. The mass media news. That's not even like science fiction anymore, but tacky surrealism. We're being adjusted to accept the idea that at any moment, anything can happen, including the unimaginable and the impossible, but mostly the unlikely. Once they've gotten you to believe one impossible thing, you can get yourself to believe damn near any impossible thing, such as that it's all for your own good. Are you prepared to be really paranoid? A little pre-paranoia never hurt anybody. Don't worry about being called a kook. We used to call the John Birchers kooks, them and all those other rabidly right-wing anti-communists, when they were hollering that the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations would take over the world. But, by gobs, they were right. The kooks were right. Totalitarian commies did take over the world, disguised as right-wing industrialists, disguised as Christians. We called the Christians kooks for worrying about the mark of the beast, that the Antichrist would make everyone wear on their hand and forehead. Well, guess what, mocker? There is a mark of the beast on your hand and on your forehead. The one on your hand is your thumbprint. And thanks to face recognition software, the one on your head is your face. You don't need a barcode tattooed on your forehead. Your face is the mark of the beast. They have been scientifically perfecting their various contraditions for centuries. We're like some gland owner's dumbasticated dogs, so well trained that when one bargain basement Bin Laden drizzles stale pee on the shriveled little bush in our front yard, we all instinctively start howling and slobbering and peeing all over every bit of foliage for miles around, while our owners laugh at us. Using television, they taught us a whole new language whereby war in Middle East really means two-for-one sale at Walmart. Even the tiniest, seemingly most insignificant details are set up to make less sense. Ever notice that everything in the store costs, say, $19.95 or $19.89 instead of just a straight-up $20? When they say only 69 cents, we both know that they've really just taken our perfectly good 70 cents and wrecked it. Bob prophesied, "It's gonna be a bummer, man." Prophecy fulfilled. And so we're now told about a new mutant disease every month. If we're lucky, maybe one of them will cure hypochondria. Jesus said, "You will hear of SARS and rumors of SARS. What nanobots lurk in the government smallpox shots? How much will we have to pay later to have them removed?" Already the conspiracy has government pee inspectors analyzing your urine every time you flush, tracking you via your toilet so that, for instance, you can be sued retroactively for lying to the insurance company about your drug or vitamin use. The next step, of course, will be identity theft via urine traces of your DNA and psychic stench. Each time you flush down an unapproved chemical, whether you peed it or not, you might as well be signing away your children to the slave camps of tomorrow. It's all become so dirty. The inevitable fad of reality TV finally came full circle with the ongoing Oil War miniseries. But it's all so sterile. One almost misses chillin' with the Cold War, which was somehow cooler. But as long as they make you worry about how you smell, whether your tish stinks, if you're wearing the right deodorant, whether or not your stomach will get you through the day, the endless conveyor belt of cheap crap will distract you from real slack. Sometimes they want you to fight them, because that's an impossible battle that you can't win, leaving you exhausted and defenseless and in need of more cheap crap. Yes, it's all very paranoying. It started with breathalyzer tests. Then they moved up to pee-alyzers, then vote-alyzers, and now they even have a machine that can tell if you're thinking. It's called a TV. If it's off, you're guilty. It's said that less than 100 people control all the big corporations, armies, governments, and the mass media in the world, and that none of them are into Bob. Actually, it's less than 10 people. And they all do know Bob, but you have never heard any of their names. If you know his name, he's not one of the puppeteers, just one of the puppets. You never see the puppeteers. You can't follow the strings up that far. If you could, it would be easy to cut them. But nowadays, there are puppets that can work other puppets, and it's puppet working puppet as far up the line as you can see. Even the puppets don't know where they are in the hierarchy. Only the ones who aren't operating a marionette themselves know exactly where they are. The bottom. And you, dear subgenius reader, are probably not engaged in pulling anybody's strings right this minute. It's economic Darwinism, survival of the richest. The decks are manufactured, already stacked for the winners. The guys who put the evol in evolution. Talk about not wanting to make waves. They have finally got things just the way they want them. The times, they were a changin', but that may end. Now that the rich are firmly rich and the poor securely poor, the conspiracy as a whole would benefit if all change were to stop. We must not let this stopping begin. We must spend our time getting slack, because time itself may be running out. Oil shortage? Water shortage? Air shortage? Those are as nothing compared to what the con would like to see. A U shortage. Because it's gradual, people don't even notice the world ending. When that day finally comes on which everything locks up and freezes in place, those who have fallen into line as they were told will shuffle through the slaughterhouse door from apathy into oblivion. Even if you survive, you'll find yourself worse than dead, in a world composed only of vacant, glad-handing geeks and vicious motorheads, and liking it. But, for now, the high officers of the Fatherland Homestead Security Corporation have decreed that you are at the center of a conspiracy of slack. Are they right? The shakedown started long ago, but who will go in the dome and who will stay out is being decided today. When the cultural gestalto asks you for your papers, will you resist? You sure don't want to get caught resisting. They have this new drug called Camp X-Ray that they give you that makes you think you've been held in prison for months without even being charged. And they have an even worse drug called False Slack that makes you think you've been sitting in your own house watching imaginary people's fake lives on TV for years and years instead of living a real life of your own. You can only see the retardation for what it is after you've removed yourself from it for a while. The less TV you watch, the more obvious is the brainwashing when you do watch it. The conspiracy knows you know this, so they pretend that they aren't even pretending it's not abysmally stupid. They crank out programming that is deliberately so dumb that you can find yourself thinking, I can't believe how stupid this is. People watch this? This is so fantastically stupid that I could sit here forever, transfixed, marveling at how stupid people must be to watch this. Those incredibly dumb shows are their way of openly, brazenly gloating at what cows we are. Break free from the Matrix, screams every cable TV sci-fi thriller after these messages. Gil Scott Heron said, the revolution will not be televised. He was wrong. Not only was the revolution televised, but Nike sponsored it. Television, unfortunately, was not revolutionized, so the whole thing ended up as just another show.
We know you deceived us, now here's a surprise. We know that you have, 'cause there's magic in us.
Friends, we subgeniuses are proud to be called kooks by the rest of the media if that keeps us out of the same boat with them. A quote from Ninslow. It's obvious, of course, that the world in general is an idiot's delight, a contrived mediocrity designed to keep morons occupied. Just look at the notorious conspiracy media, not the decoy reputable media. That's just a distraction, window dressing to make things look good. I mean the stuff people really read and really believe whether they admit it or not. Look at the tabloids, the true crime magazines, the TV murder shows, 2-inch-thick metallic embossed-covered hack sci-fi novels and romances, lame movie thrillers, manufactured music personalities. It's bread and circuses with politicians as the clowns, except the more fun you want to have, the more you have to pay. Don't act like you haven't thought about how bad that stuff sucks. You talk about it all the time. The question is, what are you going to do about it? They, the conspiracy, want you to buy all their crap, work hard all day at a mindless slave task to pay for more machines to play their indoctrination programs on, to fill your home with pseudo-collectibles and a limited number edition of a goddamn zillion. You know all that. We've told you and told you all that, and if you don't believe it by now, there's no hope for you at all. And you might as well climb back over the fence and roll in the mud with the rest of the slavish porkers. Right? End quote. But these kids these days, with their cheap-ass gee-gaw-encrusted broomsticks, all these youth rads and gimme-bobs whine and yowl about how their new conspiracy has worse jackboots than the old one did. But the only thing that really changed are the haircuts. Oh, the governments change eventually, but each time you just get more government and more haircuts. Reading history can lead to a deep sense of pessimism. Subgeniuses updated and modernized a famous poem written about Nazi Germany by Martin Niemöller, a German Protestant pastor. They came for the terrorists, and I didn't object, for I wasn't a terrorist. They came for the drug dealers, and I didn't object, for I wasn't a drug dealer. They came for the disabled, and I didn't object, for I wasn't disabled. They came for the computer hackers, and I didn't object, for I wasn't a computer hacker. They came for the pornography, and I didn't object, for I wasn't a pornographer. But then, they came for the mutes. Serious protesters, and some drunks, griped that the Subgenius Foundation, Inc. didn't do enough of the right thing about the war. Well, we tried. We visualized world peace, but all we got was a lousy t-shirt slogan. Hey, look! Go tell it to the Utney Reader. You're mistaking us for those nice people from Give-A-Tish County. What's the right thing? If you believe the conspiracy theorists, the smartest thing any of us could do right now would be to study survivalist manuals, flee this mass media hallucination, buy cheap land in the Yukon, and hide in a dome with a stockpile of canned food, a Dobbs head, and a frop pipe, and practice your aim. Otherwise, learn to give the best oral sex in town from inside a barrel. But we don't trust the conspiracy theorists any more than we trust the conspiracy. Most of them are conspiracy theorists anyway. We trust only subgenius revealed truth, and that says that the entire conspiracy, us included, is but a parasitic fungus on the skin of the overmind, that the human race is a virus, an infestation like fleas, and that the host will soon be dipped. Any political argument is thus rendered tragically moot. Knowing this, the subgenius adheres to patriopsychotic anarcho-materialism, which, by definition, each person defines differently. In patriopsychotic anarcho-materialism, state sovereignty isn't nearly enough. That would be a good start. The Soviet Union broke up? good, then by gobs it's time for the USA to break up into the dis-United States. And then to break up a lot more. Household sovereignty is what we're talking about. If you study chimpanzees or kindergarten children for a week, politics will suddenly make sense. You mustn't let petty primate politics bring you down to their level. Rise above it, inflate, blow yourself up, and float placidly, high above the middle of the road, from whence you can survey how silly they all look. Ninslow on politics. Good citizen Ninslow decided he'd spite the juvenile moron anarchists, i.e. drunks on welfare, next door, and do his dash-blinking civic duty and register to vote. Ha 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 ha. Boy, does that unmask the alienation behind society's lies. We guess we should have smashed the state when we had a chance, huh? Except, we've never been able to conquer the urge to guffaw when we run into someone so naive they have to demonstrate that their behavior is justifiable by using some sort of political ideology. Politics is the stupidest thing there is. It was invented by boring nitwits to make each other think they had some sort of control over their lives and circumstances. An utterly idiotic idea that only a total boob could ever possibly swallow. And anarchism is absolutely the dopiest, drippiest, lamest type of politics, in defense of which statement we need only remind you that it was invented by the French. No anarchist will ever get the grudging respect of Ninslow without first acknowledging us, King. So just shut up, all of you. Ninslow, 1994. The system is a self-perpetuating idiocracy that utilizes the foolproof, time-worn, good cop, bad cop technique to convince you that one side of the conspiracy is your buddy. The big con gives you your own little con enemy to hate, and your own little con friend to join. It's set up so that we would appear to have only the two basic options, both of them slackless, and neither of them there for any reason but to control us. In theory, the U.S. alone should offer almost 300 million political opinions. But, needless to say, they eliminated all of those in order to hide the only possible correct option, the word of Bob. The terms liberal and conservative are both practically meaningless. Like Bible passages, they can mean so many different things that they cancel themselves out in internal contradiction. Each side uses the other, however, as an excuse to remove different kinds of slack. One robs this kind of slack, the other robs that kind of slack. Whichever steals the most from you forces you to side with the one that steals less. And then they have you exactly where they want you, on one of their sides, believing one half of the conspiracy. But we want Big Brother out of both the boardroom and the bedroom. More Ninsletic political theory. If you want to see even the most intelligent and clear-thinking of your acquaintances suddenly glaze over and begin repeating whatever double or triple reverse conspiracy programming with which they have been infected, just state the simple facts. The conspiracy blinds its dupes with a cloud of dreams, makes them think that something other than the profits of multinational corporations even matters in how the world wobbles along. I blame the fraudulent concept of rights. Onan once sadly quoted to me the wisest thing his progenitor ever said. There's no such thing as rights. There are only privileges, temporarily allowed because the conspiracy cannot, at present, turn them into profit. Invisibility is your best defense. The three basic levels of conspiracy programming. 1. Everything's going pretty well, so don't make waves. This keeps the vast normal majority quiet. 2. Everything's totally cuffed, so burn it all down. This gets dumbasses to make spectacles of themselves so the riot police know who to gas and club and arrest. 3. Lots of things are pretty screwed up, but if we work real hard, we can change the system. This keeps potentially dangerous people busy performing pointless tasks like volunteer work for third-party candidates. All you need to know is that the people who decide how things get run put different puppets on stage every once in a while and let the drones have lots of fun thinking they're the ones who decide which puppet it is and that it will make a big difference. Nenslow, 2004.
Put it country simple. Earth has a lot of things other folks might want, like the whole planet. And maybe these folks would like a few changes made. Like more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and room for their way. Before, right in these United States. Your way of life destroyed the Indian way of life. Gave them reservations, didn't you? Position is ticklish. I'm with the invaders. No use trying to hide that. And at the same time, I disagree with some of the things they're doing. Oh, we're not united any more than you are. The conservative faction is set on nuclear war as a solution to the personnel. Others disagree. Others disagree. I don't claim that my motives are 100% humane, but I do say, if we can't think up anything quieter and tidier than that, much better than you Earth apes.
Divide and conquer works, we should know. The countless smaller conspiracies, each with their own target captive audiences, stay so busy fighting among themselves that the good old boys at the top, with their pals and organized crime, have nothing to fear. The minorities and weirdos compete against each other while the man laughs and the burning man burns. But, all the while, Bob frops and laughs, trout fishing from his rowboat of tranquility in a placid lake. While, back on Wall Street, his assets value skyrocket, powered by nothing more than his sheer unthinking slack power. You can choose to fight some specific branch of the conspiracy tooth and nail, or you can choose to avoid the entire thing by becoming a conspiracy of one. As Bob said, it's your conspiracy, you can make it as big as you want. Always remember, according to Dobbs, any politician who does not have a Subgenius membership card in its pocket is absolutely not to be trusted. Any politician who has a membership card in its pocket is absolutely not to be trusted. Perhaps the Republigoons and the Democretans are already engaged in total self-destruction even as we speak. Wouldn't that be nice? Even so, they would only be replaced by two more equally treacherous bear traps for suckers. The Reefertarian Party, maybe, versus the Liberform Party. Certainly not patriopsychotic anarcho-materialism. Anything but that. Then there'd be no conspiracy at all. And if it weren't for the conspiracy, we would be the normals. We patriopsychotic anarcho-materialists, evangelical free-frop and sex branch, believe in divergity. Whoever kills the other guy first wins. Every yard is a kingdom. Just as diversity is essential to a biosphere or a porno mag, there must always be liberal and conservative numbskulls to balance each other out. As long as the great pendulum of history keeps on swinging and isn't stuck on one side, that's a good sign. The scurrying earth fools seem to require these distractions as they scamper about performing their silly little mammalian puppet acts. But we must learn to rise above the false little conspiracies dangled like easy answers before our blinder tubes. Oh, our droogies. There is only one true conspiracy. The conspiracy of the normals. A quote. How many conspiracies does it take to totally oppress all subgeniuses everywhere for all of history? One. Dobbs to Onan Canobite, 1980. Mutants must agree to disagree. Mutant A can look the other way when El Presidente conducts secret wars, loots savings and loans, makes deals with terrorists, etc. And Mutant B can look the other way when El Presidente sneaks out with his illicit girlfriend. But what in the name of God did all those brave soldiers die for in all those wars? For the freedom of little old ladies and frustrated eunuchs to castrate everyone who happens to somehow still possess normal sexuality? The freedom for crazy fundamentalists to decide what happens behind everyone else's closed bedroom doors? The freedom for huge cartels of American drug dealers to addict children to the most insidious drugs while destroying the lives of adults who use medicines that happen not to be patentable? Did all those brave American soldiers die just so that a secret royal gang of fat, bald white guys could make yet more money? Well, like those little white crosses at Arlington Cemetery spell out when viewed from the air, there's plenty more where these came from. Slackers, but you subgenii sound like the ultimate elitist snobs. You better believe it. We are elite of the elitists, the original Luftwaffe, but we look down on the pinks, not because we think we're smarter or even right. We look down on them because we have Bob and they don't. It's that simple. Tattoo this on your brain. A quote. It turns my stomach to see all you knee-jerk subgeniuses make blanket statements about those stupid Christians or those stupid Republicans, which might as well be, nay, is just like saying, those greedy Jews or all Muslims hate women. The mindset is the same old, we're brilliant us and they're dumb old them. Pointing out the innate dumbness of that kind of thinking, isolating the loci where the dumbassitude starts is one of the main points of several satirical put-on religions that I can think of. And wouldn't you know it, that main point is the very one most often missed. Reverend Ivan Stang. Another quote. Dichotomies do not exist. Eugene A. Albright, creator of Unicotometrics. If we were merely a superior form of human, our natural dignity would prevent us from rubbing it in. The fact that we taunt them like this proves that we are something either much more or much less than just a superior human. The big difference is, we subgeniuses do not take ourselves all that goddamn seriously. Just look at us. And that offends the daylights out of people who do take themselves seriously. For, sooner or later, it sinks in that if we don't take ourselves seriously, then we probably don't take them all that seriously either. The truly pink ego cannot handle that. Victims of big broganda mind control, especially the self-inflicted kind, can't feel irony. So to them, the church is not funny, or it's funny for all the wrong reasons. And they become obnoxious bobbies, getting all the lies and believing all the jokes. Bob said, "One idiot telling one old crappy joke creates more slack than 1,000 super geniuses inventing the most virulent possible new doomsday viruses." It's not that we look down on the cow manures. We just don't like stepping in the stupid tish they believe. These pinks nowadays. The mediocritan mentality, dull and sluggish about everything else, is endlessly creative when it comes to finding new ways to consume, to digest, to transform whole continents into toxic Earthman excreta. We look at all that the Bob-danged Nagians and the human incom poops have built and see incredible levels of what might once have passed for talent, instead dedicated to building an ever-growing alibi for pinkness. Just to keep themselves from becoming suicidally depressed, they have to keep themselves in constant, unceasing denial. They have to believe themselves incredibly smart and lucky and see us as just the opposite. What to them is natural, like working for a living, is to us completely ass-dackwerbs. It's hard for us to imagine being so rigidly locked into such fossilized, monotonous behavior patterns. And it's natural that we speculate, "Aw, the normals can't really be that bad. Nobody could be. It's got to be us that's crazy." But that's giving the pink way too much credit. Sometimes our less confident fellow subgenii feel vaguely guilty because they have the fairness to wonder if maybe the pinks aren't right. We're just reminding you, they aren't. There are simply more of them. It's best to look at them as an unfortunate fact of life, a force of nature like drought. You can't prevent it, and you have to deal with it. A quote, "Normals mean well, we all know that. But subgenii mean well. We're real good at being mean. Normals mean to be mean. They intend to hate, but we just plain do it." As much as a subgenius is in the now here, normals remain in the nowhere. See, it's all a matter of emphasis. We emphasize meanness. They emphasize meaning to emphasize something someday, maybe. Reverend Dr. Onan Canabite. The deepest pinks, whether po-buckers or pay-buckers, want to be not only normal, but more normal than normal. They revel in pinkness. They luxuriate in it. They want to be the corniest possible stereotype in real life. That's their aspiration date. Look at the trouble they go to just to be upper normal. Ugh! Imagine all the things they require just to feel valid. Skin treatments, expensive clothing brands, fancy cars, gizmos with flashing lights that only make it easier for the boss to control them. Just having to keep up with what's cool alone would be enough to drive a real person mad. But it's hard to drive pinks crazy because they're so numb. We'd rather be dumb than numb any day. Be so glad that you are a weirdo. Do you realize how lucky we weirdos are? How truly rich we are to truly not care if we look rich? To actually give that little of a tish how we look. Most subgenii are living proof that a person can be what they would call an utter failure, a complete loser in Pinkland, and yet still be infinitely better off than the wealthiest of them. For subgenii are rich in slack, deep slack, the slack of being able to appreciate, period. The slack of being able to appreciate how truly, incomprehensibly beautiful are even the most mundane, poverty-enhanced moments of subgenius life. Most of the norm worms are as blameless as children. The lifelong conservative dweeb nerds we can understand. The ones that drive us sane are the sellouts and pose buckers. Those who, throughout the work week, are the most impotent of drones, taking the most pay to do the least memorable work, but then become weird on the weekend. Once out of the office, they're magical beings, witches, Klingons, cowboys, they're artists, rock stars, and biker outlaws. During the 2 days when they're not being paid slaves. Oh, they might have started out as termites, but they ended up part of the woodwork. Every week they endure 5 days of kissing the asses of dominant normals, and then compress it into 2 days of putting down real weirdos, the ones who are weird full-time and can't fake it. These hip wimps snub the plain garden variety normals, the squares, but they too want the money, so they can have more trendy clothes and hang out posing in more trendy sushi bars, and be more politically correct with more trendy friends who are all trendy artists, the kind that tattoo their faces and hang gold chains from their pierced privates, so they can give more money to Greenpeace and brag about it and feel absolved for the money they're getting from Daddy, who collects rent from 400 squalid little tenements on the west side, or saturates the countryside with pesticides to grow more vast fields of organic spinach. Pink doesn't just mean conservative. Pinkness also permeates the reality-challenging bleeding-heart liberals, self-hating gays, environmentalists, pop psychologists, feminists, animal rights activists, Afrocentrists, Earth-firsters, all the Hollywood channelers and amateur communists, the McLeans and Fondas, all those whining dupes of some big daddy or big mama. Too much false slack is what allows these trust fund rebels to exist. The hip wimps always seem to know what's best for everybody else, but stupid do-gooders can be worse than smart evildoers, especially if you happen to be evil. For example, anti-smoking bull tish from hand-wringing ninnies sullies world slack far more than does secondhand smoke. We tend to fear the world being destroyed by monsters or madmen, but the smug do-gooders may well be the death of us all, after all. For the worst of it is, it'll be for our own good. A quote, "We hawk up lungers and spit in your name, poser weirdo. You are everything your top 100 rock artists rail against. You are your own bitterest enemy. No wonder you spend more on shrinks than we do on frop. You are among the truly lost, those who will never find anything, because there's no you left. We, your so-called lowest of the low, laugh at you. Sure, you laugh at us, but you haven't had a sincere laugh since high school." G. Gordon Gordon. Another quote. "Moreover, to become serious about a subject that is as sad as it is laughable, is it not a really stupefying thing to see a nation, several nations, and presently all humanity, say to its wise men, its magicians, 'I shall love you, and I shall make you great, if you convince me that we are progressing unconsciously, inevitably, while sleeping. Rid us of responsibility, Veil for us the humiliation of comparisons, turn history into sophistries, and you will be able to call yourselves the wisest of the wise, Charles Baudelaire. Other people's businesses seem to be the natural enclosure for many noses. Thus, we find companies using P-tests to determine a worker's suitability for a job that has nothing at all to do with urination, while, at the same time, our legitimate P-jobs are outsourced to urinators in foreign countries. Wars, such as other territories rich in certain resources, are the ultimate in minding other people's business. If it isn't broken, many governments and their owners say, then let's go in there and fix the hell out of it. Whether broken or unbroken, tamper, we say, simper tamper. You might call the Church of the Subgenius the Mind Your Own Business Police. Our goal is to make everyone in the conspiracy mind their own business, at gunpoint if necessary. Being a real dumbass sure seems to make things a lot easier, though.
If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at
P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online
at
subgenius.com.
According to some scholars, the inner ear is not only the locus of balance and normal attunement, it is the station where extra audio sigh signals are received. So, it's no wonder J.R. Bob Dobbs would seek out the most arcane secrets of radio technology and learn what effects they would have on normal, abnormal, and subgenius inner ears and brains. Bob Dobbs understood, long before the televangelists, that conversion of the masses could be vastly simpler with today's mind control technology. So, he set out to speak deep into the human brain itself. This is why the Hour of Slack is not just radio. The Hour of Slack is the direct product of a scientific and mystical experiment. The mission of the Hour of Slack is stacking extra audio information in the listener's inner ear so it's never forgotten. That's the Hour of Slack, every Saturday night at midnight, right here on WREK Atlanta.